Blog Talk Radio.
Washington, D.C., the planet Earth, third planet from the sun. You're on with the Dr. C. Robert Jones Conservative Radio Report. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Toll-free number, which nobody, absolutely nobody uses, is 877-666-9305. Who's going to help me keep the devil down in the hole? Any volunteers? Tonight we're going to go back to an old standby. I see American Citizen and Beach Bum in the chat room. Welcome. Glad you're here. We're going to go back to what I do best, and that's talk about our failed president. Now, I'm going to say what I think. I'm going to say what I believe. And for some people, it's difficult because I think that there are people out there who are thinking what I'm about to say. And that is that Barack Obama is, our president, is incompetent. And a lot of people understand that he's incompetent. And it's becoming more and more in evidence that our president is incompetent. But there are those, just as there are those who elected Obama based solely on the fact that he's black, there those same people will not admit to themselves or anyone else, perhaps, that he's incompetent. Because over the course of the 500 or 600 years or so that we've been here, not sure how many, could be more, there has been this racial stereotype that black people are incompetent, that black people are lazy, that black people are not as smart as whites or any other race, that we're just sitting in the wood pile underneath the shade tree eating watermelon, fried chicken. None of that is true. But still, the stereotype persists, such to this day that when, in this politically correct age where we're afraid to say what we really think, and there are buzzwords and words that we no longer use for fear of being outcast, for fear of retribution, words like handicap, even words like secretary, stewardess, basic words that a lot of us grew up with are no longer in use. I remember when Gloria Steinem suggested that a woman who was pregnant, was with child, was not pregnant or with child, she was parasitically repressed. That was her label for a woman who was or found herself to be pregnant. So we live in a world right now where even if a black man is woefully inadequate to do his job, even if a black man is incompetent, it's somehow racist to point that out, bigoted to point it out, to label any black man as being incompetent. Well, if you're another black person, then you're an Oreo, ironically, you're a traitor to your race, you're a self-hating black person. And if you're a white person, then you're simply a bigot, a racist. And so Barack Obama has the best of all worlds here because he can be incompetent. He can party like a rock star. He can sit in the Oval Office or not. He can golf nearly 80 hours of golf in the little time he's been president. He can jet off to faraway lands and get absolutely nothing accomplished. He can have earth, wind, and fire at the White House every other night if he so chooses. He hasn't done that, but quite a few times he's had all sorts of concerts in the White House at taxpayer expense. He's partied hard and he's worked very little. And he knows that if he's called out for his utter incompetence and laziness, that those who do call him out will be ruled bigots, racist. It's important. It's important to have an open-minded perspective on the man who presently poses as the president of the United States. In as much as he's an alien black African communist, in my opinion, it behooves us to consider every dimension of what I consider to be an historical fiasco. American Citizen writes in the chat room, "This is not completely a stereotype, Doc. There are serious cultural problems with black people and their approach to education." I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more, Citizen. There are those black people who will fail. And they will fail on purpose. If going to school and getting an education is somehow a challenge or too hard, a black person will simply give up and say, "Well, the teachers were racist. The teachers weren't teaching me about black people and black history and black culture. They were teaching me something called reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's not going to help me in the real world. I need to know where I came from. And these racist white teachers, or these crab-in-the-barrel black folks, self-hating blacks, won't teach me, so I quit. Because it's all racist. So you're exactly right, citizen. Immaturity. You know, like the psychologically challenged Democrat Bill Clinton, with a troubled, confused childhood, Barry Barack Hussein Obama brings before the people of the United States a case of feigned objectivity and social wisdom. And to my mind, he's obviously chronically dependent on the camera. He has to be on stage. He has to be talking. He must be looked at. He must be in your face, all of America's faces. He has a problem staying in the White House. He jets off every chance he gets, or he's on the golf course. Recent appearances on low-down, dirty, late-night TV for teenagers and 20-something college students is typical of where Barry really is psychologically, in my mind. He's a child. And Democrats attract the socially immature and misshapen. Anthony Weiner, anyone? The unfortunate and crippled. That the party should continually aggrandize this brand of humanity makes for a grand and all-inclusive public appeal. Yeah. But these are not the kind of people that need to be in leadership. Isn't it obvious? Not ever. This not only sets them up for incorrigible failure, but creates disaster for the rest of us. Putting the common or the lowly on top is like trying to make heaven on earth. The result is going to be hell. Always. It's parasitical self-righteousness of the Democrat mindset to try and bring this about, manipulating the romantic notions of the common man. Indeed, nationhood just does not work that way. Not only does Barry demonstrate the height of immaturity and hypocrisy, he degrades the American presidency by appearing on cheap late-night entertainment shows. But then, earlier in his presidency, he says he was shocked to know bonuses were being paid to executives, and claims that Timothy Geithner was doing an outstanding job. President Barack Obama, well, he's in a continual state of fantasy. It's all about having a good time. He likes to party. It's all about party. Much worse than Bill Clinton, the Democrats bring adolescents into national leadership. Personal lack of discipline, organization, basic cleanliness, and basic decency all generate a disgusting air about our current president. I think the common people of America idolize themselves a bit too much They see themselves in the failure, immaturity, and lack of class of Barry Obama. They honor their own low estate in electing such trash to the highest office. This is what happens when everyone has the right to vote. It's a painful reminder of the necessity of voter qualification in some cases, in most cases, in all cases. Barry wants to appeal to the youth, as if youth is the guide. The educational system of America has ensured that the general youth is completely self-idolizing, dishonest, and self-indulgent. No wonder Barry seeks the solace of youth. Barry has literally no executive experience, literally none. He is, in fact, not my opinion, in fact, the most unqualified, inexperienced, incompetent individual ever to hold public office. He demonstrates the Peter principle. Incompetence is elevated or promoted, or something like that. He got in on his skin, nothing more. And there are plenty of incompetent Democrats out there, too, and some Republicans. But those Democrats want to destroy everything America is and was built on and was meant to be. Why a black one? Well, I guess just for the fun of it, and perhaps because the Democrats knew what was coming, knew the disaster they had caused, and knew it would be best to put a black man in office. That way, the black man would take the hit, and it would be a soft blow because the Negro is so well protected from criticism, so insulated from fault, that their boy, Barry, was the perfect fall guy. He would simply float and never hit the ground. Knocked silly by reality, he wouldn't even feel it himself. But the people will pay for this one. Because, as usual, actually, there are individuals and their corporate bodies. The individual always pays for the incompetence, errors, and ills of the corporation. This is the truth, even at the very lowest levels of business. Washington is a damn whorehouse now. Yeah, I said it. People like Barney Frank, Chris Dodd, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, Tim Geithner, and Barry Obama, of course, lead the world in criminal hypocrisy. Republicans are virtually complicit. It's a shame, a dark, damn shame in the history of America. Or so it seems. Is there a difference between incompetence and dishonesty? Is there? Who can tell at this point? And as for arrogance, dare we say that the spirit of the man is present in the inflections and tone of his voice? Barry even sounds cocky. It rings in his speeches. In his speech, his speeches and in his speech. In every word, his style is nothing but self-confidence, based on no experience, nothing. That kind of confidence can only be arrogance, foolishness, to be more specific. It's unhealthy to see or hear this man. It's a false experience. It is degrading and distorting, which is why I don't listen to him. I don't listen to his speeches. Because it grates on the very fiber of my being. Now, check out this Check this out. Listen to this. The call-in number is 347-884-8500.
I have talked again, and I wish I could give their names because a lot of skeptics out there would understand how Washington, Democrats in Washington have been horrified by this president's handling of things for a year and a half now. But just look at the chart. The top Democrats in the United States Senate have all told me individually, this guy has no idea what he's doing. You pull people in. These Democratic chairmen of the Senate were saying, they've got to get us all in the room. They've got to get the Republicans in here. You lock arms before you do these things. They said the president just won't do it.
It's not like Republicans have never been to the White House. They have been invited there. There have been
Come on.
I mean, now you guys are saying what you're saying.
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's what the top Democratic senators are saying. The people that you know damn well, which powerful senators that run the United States Senate have been saying about Barack Obama for the past 2 years. So don't play this game like, oh, this is just such a shock and I'm going to be down the middle.
Republicans have never been invited over to the White House.
Let me introduce another.
The New York Times said for 18 months,
Mitch McConnell,
the most powerful Republican in the U.S. Senate, did not have a one-on-one with Barack Obama. That is inexcusable on all levels, and Democratic senators will be the first to tell you that, and they have told you that.
Let me introduce another element into this discussion that I think that plays a part in what has happened, especially over the last year, and that's the importance and the absence of Ted Kennedy in the Senate, and the importance and the absence of Ted Kennedy in his relationship with President Obama.
You know, Senator Kennedy was a good legislator. He would keep his word. I didn't agree with his word all the time, but he would keep it. If he said he was going to screw me, he would screw me. But he also, if he said he was going to help me, he would help me. And he would work to get things done. So, yes, we miss kind of the maturity of the Senate, finding solutions, finding common ground. There are lots of opportunities to divide.
Yeah.
Where are the opportunities to come together?
Hey, Mike, just so I'm not exposed here, because Miki can't say it, because she's talked to these same Democratic senators. How many Democratic senators running the U.S. Senate over the past 2 years have told you that they could pull their hair out because of the way the White House was handling the situation?
You know, I was just mentally going through a card check.
Seriously, it's all the time.
I was up to seven as you were going back and forth. Seven different individual senators have said exactly that.
And by the way...
So, seven individual senators back just less than a year ago voiced their opinions to Scarborough on MSNBC, but of course they wouldn't be named, because I believe that if they had been named, they would be labeled with the scarlet letter, maybe the ebony letter, the black letter. It's a letter R for racist. Because here we have the first black president of the United States of America. And here a group of old white men have gone ahead and labeled the president, the first so-called black president of the United States, they've labeled him as incompetent. Oh, the audacity of it all. Who would dare label the president of the United States, the first black president of the United States, incompetent? Is my view extreme? Am I being melodramatic? Am I overdoing it? Perhaps just a bit. Could Could Obama be that bad guy? Could he be that blind and stupid in his own self-conceit? The Democrat critics of George Bush spared no criticism or condemnation. Dare we think an ill thought of Barry Obama? Is it a criminal thing? Who could possibly think so after the Democrat treatment of George Bush? Who could be so unbelievably hypocritical, so intensely arrogant? Democrats, liberals, media? But Obama thinks he's above everyone else. That's why he degraded the presidency on a cheap late-night entertainment talk show time after time. It's not that he doesn't care. In my mind, he wants to denigrate all that he touches, and so that it makes him feel more superior. Apparently, this is a liberal thing to think that you are vastly superior to everyone else and that you have to humble yourself in order to reach them. That you know what's best before the people. That they're stupid and ignorant and you must feed them and change their diapers. You are so lofty, so adult, so grand, so fantastic, so wonderful. So omnipotent. Do I want Obama to succeed? Do I want immaturity and competence and arrogance to reign supreme? Do I want America to be prostituted? Do I want America to be over? No. And therefore I call for the public impeachment of Barack Hussein Obama, as well as most of the leading Democrats presently lying to the country. We need to start a different government, a different place for a nation, a national government. Washington is out, done, over, no good. They're the enemy. In fact, I say we need to start over. And somehow we need to begin again. The show is over. The Democrat Party must be declared illegal. The Republican Party must be abolished and completely reestablished. Of course, none of this will happen. It's just wishful thinking while we still have free speech. Should Obama get a free pass again in 2012? Obama's own vice president, Joe Biden, said before Obama became president that the office of the president doesn't lend itself to on-the-job training. And it was clear that Obama lacked the qualifications and abilities to be president. Yet 98% of black voters voted for Obama, mainly because, as AC has pointed out on numerous occasions, they perceived him as black, even though he is half white. But let me tell you something that AC knows very well. That blacks believe that if you have a single drop of black blood in flowing through your veins, just a single drop, and I kid you not, I am not joking at all, that you are black. Tesla could be as white as snow, but if Tesla is found to have a single drop of black blood in his body, he can walk through down 103rd and Halsted and not be molested. He will be welcomed in the hood as a brother. AC knows that what I'm saying is true. So the fact that Obama's only half black means absolutely nothing to the black community. the lamestream media, as Obama calls, I mean, as Rush calls it, also gave Obama a free pass, mainly because he is perceived as black. Hell, even the Bush administration gave Obama a free pass, mainly because he was perceived as black. Rather than thoroughly vetting him regarding his citizenship and all the rest. Why? Because the GOP feared voter backlash, calling them racist. Well, you know what? And AC writes in the chat room, the one-drop rule of racial ancestry for blacks only applies to the United States. It doesn't apply to South America. Almost all Caucasian people have some black ancestry. Got it. I understand. Now that Obama has finished his on-the-job training, isn't it time now to assess his abilities and qualifications based on his performance alone and not what George Bush is alleged to have done? Should he be again given a free pass mainly because people perceive him as being black? Let me give you another example here. MSNBC admitted on March 12, 2011, that Obama gets a free pass because he is a black liberal. He got a free pass because he is a black liberal. So, do you think that Obama doesn't know that? That he could do almost anything he wants? Listen to this.
A new warning from Democratic guru James Carville, who famously coined the phrase, "It's the economy, stupid," back in 1992. In a radio interview, Carville said that if the job outlook remains bleak, quote, "we're going to start seeing civil unrest in this country." I hate to think that, but I think it's possible. MSNBC contributor Karen Hunter and Republican strategist Boris Epstein back with me now. Karen, okay, James can get a little hyperbolic. He can get a little excited.
A little bit.
But does he have any point here?
Yes. Unfortunately, it's the one Achilles heel that this president has, and it is the economy. And we keep seeing it, and people every day are feeling it. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to get to civil unrest. We are being anesthetized with all the sexting and the reality TV shows, which is good. But, you know, if people can't pay their bills and they're not finding jobs, it's going to have a direct impact on
the economy. If that does happen, though, is it because the politicians on both sides, and I would say the Republicans who have been hammering at the president, that they would bear some responsibility in that?
I don't see civil unrest happening. We've had much worse economic times in this country, and there have been instances of civil unrest. But if James thinks there's going to be organized civil unrest, he's wrong. What is going to happen, and what you saw in 2010, is you will see the electorate come out and vote out the people who they see in power, and who they see as responsible
for
the problems they have.
Well, I asked a repetitive question. What have the Republicans done since they took
over
the House?
And both have a part to play in this, but I do disagree with you in the sense that we've seen organized noise in this country with the Tea Party and a lot of other things. And this is the one
issue
that
is
organized noise, and I see it being
an organized statement that the country is unhappy and those in the Tea Party are unhappy. And to answer your question, what have the Republicans done since they've been in the House? Republicans have done their absolute best to keep taxes low and keep the people's money in their pockets.
Really?
That's what you saw happen
the
last lame duck session. That's why the taxes were low.
Right,
and if those people
who are elected today would not be elected today. So
They'll be elected again in 2012, and I think you're going to see a different president in 2012 because of the economic outlook being so bleak.
Yay, Sarah Palin for president. I can't wait.
A Republican for president. A Republican will come in and will understand, be it Tim Pawlenty, Mitt Romney, or any of the other candidates.
And none of them can get out of their own primaries.
They'll come in
and
they'll understand that this country needs low taxes, low spending, and national security.
And nothing that the Republicans have ever delivered.
Okay. So here you have a white guy. And then you have the black lady on the cable network, and it doesn't matter to the black lady that we are looking at a very dismal outlook here in America. It doesn't matter that we're seeing record unemployment, high gas prices, the mood of the country being completely and utterly soured. She's going to go ahead and make her excuses for Obama. She's going to defend Obama. Do you think she's defending Obama because she enjoys his policies? I'm certain that she goes out and fills up her gas tank just like you and me. She goes to buy groceries just like you and I, like you and me, like us. She sees what's happening in the country. She appears to be a fairly intelligent woman. No. No. She defends the president of the United States because he is black. And I believe that I can say that with a reasonable degree of certainty. Because I hear it every day. I hear it every single day. When I ask black folks why they continue to defend this president, they tell me, because he's the first black president. But what about his policies? They'll shift the focus from his policies to what George Bush did, or what they think he did, or what they've been told he did, and say that only that Barack is doing the best he can. George Bush dug so deep a hole that Barack Obama has to do these things. Things won't change overnight. But he's doing the best he can, bless his little heart. They say these things to me when nobody's looking. Our president, folks, is incompetent. The emperor. No. It's not that the emperor has no clothes, folks. The emperor is buck naked. Buck naked. It's official. Everything Barack Obama touches turns to crap. Not because he wants to screw up everything, but because he's simply in over his head as president of the United States. He's the quintessential wrong guy at the wrong time. And the events of these last couple of years simply provide exclamation points to that sentence. You know, this is a time for a Ronald Reagan. This is the time for a man who loves this country and would lay down his life for it. This is the time for a Ronald Reagan, a George Washington, a John Adams. And we don't have that. Dare I say it, this is a time for an Eisenhower. This is the time, and I'm scraping the barrel here, for even a Kennedy. The economy. We are all aware of the president's performance here. He's made the deficit spending of the last few George Bush years look like amateur hour. He's added nearly $3 trillion to the national debt, presided over a period of dreadful unemployment and a housing crisis of epidemic proportions, with no end in sight for any of it. when the nation needed a leader in wake of the Gulf oil spill, President Obama failed miserably. He said he cared when the cameras were rolling, that he cared deeply. But almost immediately after jetting away from the misery of the Gulf, our president could be seen golfing, vacationing, entertaining at the White House. I think it was Earth, Wind, and Fire again, or Stevie Wonder. In a story on a Wall Street Journal poll that showed Americans are less confident in the president's leadership than at any point in his presidency, reporters interviewed James Camaretto, a 23-year-old stay-at-home dad from Macomb, Michigan. Camaretto put it just right. He said it was difficult to relate to Obama because the president is eating steak dinners at the White House and playing golf, while the country is suffering. You know what, folks? I was a Marine for a long, long time, and I was a leader of men, certified as such. And I want to tell you right now, that leadership can't be faked for very long. No. If the Gulf doesn't prove it for you, then consider the president's first official act as president, signing of an executive order to close the prison facility at Guantanamo Bay. With the stroke of a pen, he looked the part of a leader, fulfilling a campaign promise. But now, some, what, 2-3 years later, Gitmo remains open. Why? Because leadership is more than looking the part. It's hard work, it's resolve, it's sacrifice, it's making things happen. When I became a young Marine officer back in 83, a young second lieutenant, I spared no expense. While other young Mustangs, Marines who came from the enlisted ranks, simply converted their enlisted uniforms to officer requirements, I headed over to the Marine uniform shop at Quantico. And I bought it all, right on down to the riding crop and the swagger stick and the calling cards. I was fitted for the most tailored Marine uniform. I was the poster style Marine, dressed and decked out in my Class A uniform or Class B, my greens. I looked the part of one of the greatest Marine warriors of all time, but yet I had yet to issue an order as an officer. I had not sent a Marine into battle as an officer. I was a leader by title alone. It took years for me to develop into a competent leader. But yeah, for that first 18 months, I sure to hell looked the part. But looking the part and being are vastly different things. And that's what we had with President Obama. Oh, he looks pretty good in a suit. He speaks well. But there is another stereotype. The stereotype that if a black man speaks well, then he must be intelligent. Let me speak to this issue of intellect. Because when Barack Obama came on the scene, he was touted as this really smart guy, this great intellectual. Even Gore Vidal stated that Barack Obama was twice the intellectual John Kennedy was. That's a direct quote. He is made up to be this really, really smart man. But let me tell you something, folks. I'm a smart guy, too. I am really, really smart, and I've got the credentials to prove it. But put me in a an auto mechanic's uniform, and hand me a wrench, and point me to a car and ask me to take the engine apart, or to remove a muffler, or to change brakes. I have no idea what to do. Hell, ask me to do any number of things. Intellect alone will not get it done. I'm a really smart guy, and I just received a mountain bike today in the mail. I'd won it on eBay. I had no idea that the damn thing would come in a million pieces. And there are parts of it still scattered all over my den. Because this really smart guy that you hear right now has no clue how to put that damn bike together. I'm going to have to load up all those pieces and take it to the bike shop. But, oh, I'm so smart. Yeah, yeah, I'm a genius, right? Here's my point. It doesn't matter that Barack Obama is so damn smart, or at least that, or whether that people think he is. Being smart doesn't get things done. You have to have some aptitude for the job. Aptitude for the job. I have no aptitude for putting the bike together. I have no aptitude for repairing automobiles. I have no aptitude for a great many things. And Barack Obama has no aptitude for being president of the United States of America. None, mind you. Looking the part is not good enough. America deserves better. President Obama is very good at talking about things, but very short on the skills to get things done. Now, a few months ago, we found the same flaws in a play with the lives of our men and women in combat. The general he chose to execute his strategy required removal, not because the president was engaged enough to see it coming, but because of a Rolling Stone article. It's one thing to take decisive action when publicly humiliated, but it's quite another to effectively prosecute a war. And that takes leadership, which sadly remains a quality we're not seeing from this president so far. What are we going to do, folks? Citizen writes, Obama has no experience of leadership anywhere in his resume except for president of the Harvard Law Review, and how hard is it to do that? I want to go ahead and play this clip, let you digest this a little bit. It's Dick Armey stating the obvious, but we're going to play it anyway. Well, it's queuing up anyway. Once it's all queued up, it'll play. In the meantime, American Citizen writes in the chat room, I do agree that Herman Cain has much more experience, much more leadership experience than Obama, but I think his chances have been dashed by Obama's failure. Interesting. It's a very interesting take on the situation. It reminds me of a show I did not long ago where we spoke about the great heavyweight boxer Jack Johnson, the first black heavyweight champion of the world, was a great boxer but flaunted his championship, the fact that he was champion, wore diamond rings, fur coats, drove 90 miles an hour, received somewhere in the area of 90 to 100 tickets for speeding, flaunted the fact that he was the baddest man on the planet, caroused and drove around with white women. In 1911, and when he was defeated, it was revealed by the powers that be that there would never be another black heavyweight champion of the world because they were just too showy. And I think that that's the point Citizen is getting to right now. Barack Obama has ruined it for the next black president. And you're right, Southern Sense. I do need Mike on the switchboard, but I think Mike is working tonight or something. He can't be here.
You know, every now and then he's.
But I got it going now.
You ever notice that? They can be funny. But I think the funniest thing I've heard in the last couple of weeks was President Obama when he appeared before the Republican conference. And he said something that I found quite amusing. He said, I'm no ideologue. And I thought to myself, Mr. President, you are only just that. You are an ideologue. And you give credence to Army's axiom that there's nothing so arrogant as a self-righteous income redistributor. You're intellectually shallow, you're romantic, you're self-indulgent, you have no ability, perhaps the most proven yourself already to be, even to the recognition of your fellow Democrats, the most incompetent president, perhaps, in our lifetime. You have no ability, you only have talent, and your purpose is income redistribution. Your methods are transparent. You create the perception of a crisis in order to be able to ride to the rescue and achieve your self-indulgent purposes of controlling the distribution of income in America. So whether it is the crisis in health care, then we create the crisis of the perception of an environmental catastrophe. So we can have cap and trade, and you can then control the distribution of energy. What they didn't recognize at the time they were elected was there was already an unrest stirring in America, a sense of disappointment and concern, born, quite frankly, out of the frailties and the malfunctioning of the Republicans in office. And then it turned into a tidal wave of fear and anxiety when we saw what we had in these ideologues in the White House, in the Speaker's office, in the Senate, who are willing to destroy the American economy, the American way of life. They were in a state of denial. We weren't real. We were, and we certainly, we were not somebody they needed to listen to. But by the way, what are these things?
Pointing to teleprompters.
I thought if you knew what you were talking about and had something on your heart to say, you didn't need them. So this groundswell has become now recognized as the American Tea Party grassroots small government movement. Please let us not get into a contest to see who's top dog. We don't need a top dog. We're all pulling together. Please, let's stay focused. The number one biggest problem in America is the physical size of this government. It's choking down the economy and the liberties of American people. When you take a look at the structure of the political economy, it is the private sector of personal, individual, separate initiatives coming together that gives you the horse that carries the burden. And we are carrying the government. The government is the rider. And as long as the horse is bigger and stronger than the rider, we can win the race. Their notion is starve the horse and feed the jockey. And I promise you, when the jockey's fatter than the horse, you'll lose the race. Now, I have no doubt that somebody at MSNBC has already determined which end of the horse I am. I can live with being even that part of the horse because I have seen the jockey.
All right, Dick Armey, well done, and a good favorite. That was taken from the 2010 CPAC. And, you know, something, a lot struck me about what Armey said there. The representative, former House Majority Leader Dick Armey said there. And one of the things was that he pointed to the teleprompters and he said, what is that? And he said, I always thought that if you speak from the heart, and I'm paraphrasing, and you have something important to say from your heart, you don't need those. And then I thought, Benjamin Netanyahu stood for nearly an hour in front of Congress with no teleprompter, none, only a stack of handwritten notes which he referred to quite sparingly. And while I watched the full, from beginning to end, speech that Netanyahu gave to Congress, I noted that he spoke from the heart. He looked out at the audience and spoke to the audience. His head didn't tilt slightly upward and to the left, and then slightly upward and to the right, and back and forth, and back and forth. He spoke with eloquence and candor, and he spoke from the heart about his love for his country and the wish that his country and those around his country could live in peace and harmony. He didn't need a teleprompter. He didn't need a fully prepared speech from beginning to end to get his point across. He spoke from the heart, and indeed, as Tesla writes in the chat room, Benjamin Netanyahu is the leader of the free world, and indeed, that is so true, and it was never more evident than when he addressed our Congress just a couple of weeks ago with not a teleprompter in sight and only a few handwritten notes. Isn't that how it was once done? Just a few notes. Not a teleprompter to tell the president what was on his mind. What happened? What has happened? How did we get to this point? Well, I want to speak briefly about a man that I've never met, who has been close to my heart, even though I had never met him. His name is Gore Vidal. Now, in Russia, or in Russian, the phrase Gore Vidal means he has seen grief. Gore Vidal has since lost his partner of 50 years, most of his friends, most of his enemies, and the use of his legs. He bristles with his own brilliance. Gore Vidal is not only grieving for his own dead circle and his own fading life, but for his country, America. At 83, he has lived through one-third of the lifespan of the United States. If anyone incarnates the American century that has ended, it's him. He was America's greatest essayist, one of its best-selling novelists, and the wit of every party. He holidayed with the Kennedys, Cruise for Men with Tennessee Williams, was urged to run for Congress by Eleanor Roosevelt. He co-wrote some of the most iconic Hollywood films. He damned U.S. foreign policy from within, sued Truman Capote, he watched his cousin, Al Gore, get elected president and still lose the White House, and finally, bizarrely, befriended and championed the Oklahoma bomber, Timothy McVeigh. Southern Sense writes in the chat room, the Israeli Ronald Reagan, yep, Democrat at birth, conservative at heart, well-written Southern. Southern also writes in the chat room, we elected the American Idol president. All suit and no substance. I added that last part. Yet, Gore Vidal says, and I recount this with a heavy heart, it's clear the American experiment has been a failure. It was all for nothing. Soon the country will be ranked somewhere between Brazil and Argentina, where it belongs. The empire will collapse militarily in Afghanistan. The nation will collapse internally when Obama is broken by the madhouse. And the Chinese call in the country's debts. A ruined United States will then be the yellow man's burden. And they'll have us running the coolie cars or whatever it is they have in the way of transport. He went on to say that I was like everyone else when Obama was elected, optimistic. Everything we had been saying about racial integration was vindicated, but he's incompetent. He will be defeated for re-election. He went on to say that it's a pity because he's the first intellectual president we've had in many years, but he can't hack it. He's not up to it. He's overwhelmed. And who wouldn't be? The country should be put away, and we've been told to go away. Nothing makes any sense. Those are the words of a true American patriot, Gore Vidal. He went on to say that the president wants to be liked by everybody. And he thought all he had to do was talk. But remember, substance is the key. When he compared his old friend to Jack Kennedy, he shook his head. He said, Obama is twice the intellectual Jack was, but Jack knew the great world. Remember, he spent a long time in the Navy losing ships. That kid, Obama, has never heard a gun fired in anger. He's absolutely bowled over. He's not ready for prime time, and he's getting a lot of prime time on his plate at once. When asked if there is any hope, he replied, every sign I see is doom. But then people say, oh, Mr. Vidal, you're so negative. Can't you say something nice about America? It's a wonderful country. Everybody wants to live here. He replied, oh, yes? When was the last time you saw a Norwegian with a green card who wanted to come here because of the health services? He said, I'll pay you if you can find one. The death of America. He went on to say that the current spasming death of America was foretold at its birth. Gore Vidal said, it can only be understood by whirling back there. It has been his mission to explain the past to the United States. I have read every book, and a lot of those books are not easy reads. When Vidal speaks, he sweeps over two millennia of history, from Caesar to Obama, as if he was there. Forever spraying one-liners from the back row. Today, he has stopped time in a place called Philadelphia at the birth of the Republic. Benjamin Franklin saw it all coming, he says. I quote him because most Americans don't even know who he is now. You'll have to explain to your readers, he said, Franklin was a polymatic writer, scientist, and soldier who became one of the founding fathers of the United States. He went on to quote, in Philadelphia in 1781, when the Constitution was being put together, he was an observer. He didn't want to have any part of it. And as he was leaving the Constitution Hall in Philadelphia, a couple of old ladies said, ah, Mr. Franklin, what is going to happen? And he told them, well, you're going to get a republic if you can keep it. But every constitution of this sort has failed since the beginning of time due to the corruption of the people. So the American people are corrupt? Americans aren't good enough for America? Precisely. They were only good enough to be a colonial power, or perhaps the dregs of one. So, here we are. Gore Vidal, unfortunately, to my mind, was right. Why else? What better? What more explains the election of Barack Hussein Obama to the presidency of the United States? What else could possibly explain the fact that he, despite his failing policies, is still a quite popular president? Even though gas prices have skyrocketed, food prices have gone through the roof, and America is teetering on the brink of total collapse, what else explains the popularity of this president? America does not deserve America. We have forgotten what it means to be Americans. We have forgotten the sacrifices of those who came before us. We are a decadent nation. We are a decadent country. Abortion on demand, gays in the military. You see it every single day. Mothers videoing using a camera phone. A mother video her daughter, videoing her daughter in a fight and cheering her on. Fights breaking out in fast food restaurants, and no one steps in to break the fight up. They simply cheer the combatants, cheer them on, and video the fights for YouTube display later on. Mothers murdering their children over the past few years. We have forgotten who we are, what we are, and where we came from. It's been 20 years, perhaps 30. Once we were Americans. Now we are Black American. We're Hispanic American. We are Jewish American. We are Greek American. We're Chicano. We're Puerto Rican. Blacks were Negroes for a time, and then we became Black, and now we are African American. Whatever happened to us just being American? Is Gore Vidal right? Is it true that Americans no longer deserve America, that we're not good enough anymore for America? Now, my main man Gore was born at the United States Military Academy in West Point to a wealthy family at the apex of American power. His grandfather was Thomas Pryor Gore, the senator for Oklahoma. He was blind, so from the age of 5, little Gore was reading letters and books for Big Gore and guiding him discreetly through Washington, D.C. parties. The senator was a populist, fighting to rally the people against the concentrated power of Wall Street and big finance. He represented the cotton farmers who emerged battered from the Civil War, only to be destroyed by Wall Street financiers playing roulette with the global cotton price. Yet there was almost a strange contradiction to his life. He says that my grandfather couldn't stand his constituents, and they loved him for it. Figure that one out. Does America deserve America? We have elected an incompetent president who has no idea what he's doing, and yet he's being cheered on as a savior of America. And every failure is not his failure, it's someone else's failure. I'm going to go ahead and continue on with Gore in another show. But I'd like to wrap things up here by saying that to those who are within the sound of my voice, we've got to figure out a way to right this ship before it's too late. We need to go ahead and send this would-be president home. Because it is painful to me to see where we're headed. I am worried as to why Americans continue to give Obama a free pass, despite pitiful job creation, lurching and disappointing recovery, recurring confrontations with Israel, paralysis on immigration, despair over Afghanistan, a worsening financial outlook, an expensive stalemate in Libya, a dysfunctional relationship with Congress, including his own party, and a worldview that is patently at odds with mainstream Americans. Obama continues to enjoy positive approval ratings. But by what measure? Because he pushes through still unpopular health care initiatives that spend money we don't have, that manifestly do not cure our out-of-control health care outlays, because he speaks well, because he's tall? Why are Americans so anesthetized? Now, this president spent his first 2 years in office blaming the prior administration for our rocky economy. That's fair. But today, the 16 million Americans, the estimated 16 million Americans unable to find jobs, should hold Obama accountable now. Those alarmed about our $15 trillion national debt and they should be incensed that our finest young men and women continue to die in Afghanistan. They should hold Obama accountable. Why should all hold the president accountable? For nothing. The country is headed in a downward spiral, and yet President Obama continues to be a very popular president. Do we deserve America? I don't know. I don't know. I see a time when America will no longer exist as we know it. And I'm not alone. I am not alone. I just hope that a miracle. I'm waiting for a miracle. Because I am deeply, deeply concerned for this great country. I have spilled blood on the field of battle. I have held dead warriors in my arms far too many times for the sake of God, corps, and country to bury my head in the sand and just allow it to all just slip away and say, hey, this is how it was supposed to be. We were not meant to be here very long, and here we are not. I want to thank everybody for listening, all the people in the chat room, all my guests, American Citizen, Tesla, Southern Sense, and everyone else. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I do appreciate it. And tomorrow is our last show for the week, and we'll get more into this horrible, horrible mess we're in. Hopefully we won't wind up saying, brother, can you spare a dime?
They used to tell me I was building a dream, and so I followed the mob. When there was earth to plow or guns to bear, I was always there, right on the job. They used to tell me I was building a dream, with peace and glory ahead. Why should I be standing in line? Just waiting for bread. Once I built a railroad, made it run, made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a tower to the sun, brick, mortar, and lime. Once I built a tower, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell. All of that Yankee doodle-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Hey, don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Say, don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime? Once I built a railroad, I made it run, and I made it race against time. Once I built a railroad, now it's done. Hey, brother, ain't got a dime about you, have you? And once I built a tower, yes, a tower to the sun, of brick, mortar, and lime. Yes, I'm the fella built the tower, and now it's done. Hey, buddy, ain't got a dime about you, have you? Once in khaki suits, he will look swell. Full of that Yankee doodle-dee-dum. Half a million boots went marching through hell, and I was a kid with a drum. Say, don't you remember? Don't you remember? They called me Al. It was Al. Al all the time. Don't you remember? I'm your pal. Brother, can you spare a dime?